Okay, let's begin. We're up to, we just began, we began last week, we began the Pasuk in Perek, page 310. Okay, we're up to page 310. We began the Pasuk, Pasuk Yugim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yugim, Ki, Hine Yotze Hadim, Hashem creates mountains, Uvayre Ruach, Hashem creates the wind, Umagid Lodem, Masechei, Hashem will tell a person at the end of his life, Masechei, I said the end of Magid is the end of a person's life. How, not necessarily. Good morning, Rishol Zev, how are you? Magid le'adam Masechei. Hashem tells a person Masechei, his every last word. Everything a person says, kol, is recorded. I say Shachar Eifa. Hashem makes Shachar, he makes morning into darkness. Okay, that's a very fascinating thing. Someone mentioned here last week, there's something called in science called black light. Anyone know what that is? I have no idea. I didn't get a chance to go.
The dentist uses that when he tries to solidify some of the material.
So they put in this type of ultraviolet light.
Ultraviolet.
Right. They have it even. You could buy even a certain flashlight. You can buy which, if there's any bacteria, it lights up blue. Do you ever see such a thing?
Wow.
Yeah, you buy on Amazon. It's not expensive. A certain type of flashlight, so you can see if there's any living organisms.
Wow.
Okay, there's a lot of technology. But there's this thing over here called Oisei Shachar Eifa, which I don't know what this means. Obviously, it must be some fascinating concept. We haven't seen it in Farshim. I didn't really delve into it too much. That Hashem makes from light darkness. Shachar means light. Eifa means darkness. Hashem is able to transform Shachar, the morning rays, into darkness. What exactly?
Black holes is in the space. Black
yes.
holes is, gravity is so strong that it
even
absorbs
light.
The light.
Even light. Okay. In the Hanami,
that maybe know what that means. They don't know what that means, but they know
that how it works. So that definitely fits into it, that definitely fits into the translation of these words. Okay. There's definitely something to that. So one that's part of the mysteries of creation. V'dorech al bomos se'aretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dorech means he steps. In this context, it means Hashem takes the things of this world that are bomos, that are very, very high, tall, and exalted. Good morning, Amchol. And he is dorech, he steps upon it, he can bring it down to nothing. Hashem elokates v'koy shema, that is Hashem's name. It's a very, very powerful passage. There's a lot going on, a lot of very big mysteries. And then you see on the page, there's an enormous amount of commentary on this pasuk. So let's take it slow. We began last week just a little bit. Let's review the Mitzudos David, pasuk in Gimel on page 311. Ki ne yoytze harim, ki ne Hashem hu yoytze. Hashem is one that is yoytze es harim, the mountains. Vehu habori es ruach. Hashem is the yoytze mountains, and he creates ruach. Now that itself, this in itself is a very fascinating idea. We have this idea in davening. Yoytze or uvorei choshech. That's not a real pasuk. The real pasuk, Yoytzer Or Uvorei Es Hara.
Yeah.
Hashem creates Or, and Yoytzer Or Uvorei, he creates Ra. So in the Nusach HaTfilah, it has been changed to Yoytzer Or Uvorei Choshech.
Is that pasuk in Yishayah
or not? I don't know. So now, a lot of the Farshim that right away pick up on this. What is the difference between Yoytzer and Boyre? Yoytzer means you are starting with the matter. You already have something. You're forming it. You're changing. You're transforming it. Boyre means a creation. So this is a big discussion that Yoytzer Or. What does that mean? Hashem is Yoytzer. Hashem is the Boyre Or. Hashem is the creator of Or. Hashem is the creator of the entire world. Why do we use the word Yoytzer in reference to Or? And do we use the word Boyre, a creation, in reference to darkness? So what does all this mean? Hashem creates everything. So we have no choice but to say that we're starting at a later point in time. Of course, Hashem creates everything. It's like the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Es Haaretz. What is the similar translation of that pasuk? So as children were taught, it means Bereshis, in the beginning. The Torah begins with the very, very beginning when there was nothing. And Hashem, in the beginning, Bereshis, Bara Elokim, Hashem created Es Hashamayim V'Es Haaretz. That is who gives this translation that we've been trained as children. I assume it's all been taught in Gesundheit, in Yeshiva Gitana. This is what the Targum, how the Targum Unkelis translates the words. Bereshis, in the beginning, we are starting from ground zero. And Hashem creates. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi clearly disagrees with the Targum. Rashi says, towards the beginning. Towards. The world before the Torah begins, there was already a creation. To what degree was the world developed?
Matter.
There was matter. There was a lot. We don't even know. Right. It's not revealed to us at all. And in fact, Chazal tell us it's forbidden to delve into what took place before the word Bereshis. But there's one thing that is certain according to Rashi, not according to the Targum. There was a lot going on before the Torah begins. There was a lot going on in this world. There was matter. There was who knows what was going on, and the process was underway. And now, in the middle of that process, Bereshis, towards the beginning, or in the middle of the beginning, Hashem, Bereshis Bara Elokim, towards the beginning of the creation of the Shemayim and the Aretz, V'ruach Elokim Rachef Es Al Pnei Hamayim. Before the Torah begins, there was already a Shemayim, there was already an Aretz, and Hashem's spirit was hovering over Mirachefes al Pnei, over the Mayim. So before the first pasuk of the Torah begins, there was already a Shemayim, there was already an Aretz. Hashem created it. How did He create it? When did He create it? Maybe it was been around for billions of years. Maybe that partially explains carbon dating. If we accept that the science of carbon dating is correct, which People question. They believe that carbon dating works for maybe a few thousand years, but once you go past a few thousand years, they're not mukhruch that the whole technique really is correct. But even if you do assume that there is truth to it, so then that right away Rashi immediately takes away the whole question, because Rashi says that before the first pasuk in this, before we began to calculate time, there was already something called a Shemayim. And there was already something called the Aretz. And now, in the beginning of that time, which already existed, the Ruach Elokim Rachef Es Al Pnei HaMoyim. So that means there was already matter. And when we study the Torah, we are only studying from Bereshis. And since Bereshis already began with matter, so then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to develop the world in the 7 days of creation, it's called the Yetzirah, Yoitzer. Hashem is forming. He's transforming the matter into something more sophisticated. There is not a creation, a Yesh Me'ayin. The Yesh Me'ayin already took place before the beginning of creation. Before the first pasuk, there was, of course, everyone that's an apikoros to say otherwise. Hashem created the world. But the Torah is not starting with creation, according to Rashi. He's starting with after creation. Towards the beginning of the existence of the Shemayim and the Aretz, the Ruach Elokim Rachef Es Al Pnei Hamayim. Vayayim Elokim Yihi Ar. Hashem says there should be Ar. Yoitzer Ar. Hashem didn't create darkness, didn't create at this moment in time. Hashem is not creating Yesh Me'ayin Ar, because Ar, matter, already existed before the first pasuk of the Torah. Again, no one is coming to disagree with that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Borei. That's not because of this. But the Torah does not begin from that point in time. The Torah begins at a later point in time. But yet, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create anything, when it comes to the R, when it comes to everything, there was just a transformation, a forming, a development, but darkness, that indeed is a creation that took place after the first pasuk of the Torah. So Bereshis, towards the beginning of the Shemayim and the Aretz, we have to assume that in the Shemayim and the Aretz, there is already the matter that is necessary for Or. And then the next pasuk says, Vayom Elokim Yihi Or. Okay. But then when it goes on to say, He are, and then we when we are in
that
truth.
That means that the darkness existed before?
No, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Darkness did not exist. This is one approach to understand what we say in davening every single day. Yoitzer or uvoire choyshech. Hashem forms or, and he creates darkness. If you would ask the average person, it would be just the opposite. It would say that darkness is the default. Darkness is synonymous with non-existence. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Bereish, Baruch Elokim, Yisraim, he are, it was the first Berea, a creation of R. Boire is a much more powerful word than Yitzira. Yitzira means to form. Yitzira has a connotation. You already have matter, and you're just manipulating that matter, you're transforming that matter into something more sophisticated, something different. The tzura is the yitzira. You already have the choymer, and now you're investing in the tzura. So we would expect the nusach atzilah to be Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, boirei or an yoitzer choyshech. Or I don't even know if you can say the yoitzer by choyshech, but the word boirei is not the word we expect to hear in connection with darkness. We assume before the world was created, the term that we could relate to is choyshech. Choyshech means nothingness, darkness, nothingness. And then Hashem's Yoy, Boire, he was Boire, this thing called R. And yet Chazal say just the opposite. How do we understand this? It's a very difficult, it's not an easy thing. But one approach, you have to basically, the Aleph Beis of Bereis HaOlam, is the Aleph Beis is the Machloikis between the Targum and Targum and Rashi. The Targum says Bereishis means in the beginning, Bekadmoin. There's a bit in the beginning. In that, that's the way Kamat, I think all of us has been taught as children.
Grammatically, a base in front doesn't mean in or by, nearby.
It means in. It means bereshis. That's how we normally translate in the beginning. That's how all of us have been taught, and that's how every single translation of the English of the Chumash has been presented until the first one to change this was Art Scroll. Article was the first, as far as I know, the first English translation that deviated from the custom of translating Bereshis as in the beginning to a new translation, which they write in the Hakdama to Article, that we are following the translation provided by Rashi. Rashi clearly disagrees with the Targum, and Rashi does not translate Bereish means in the beginning. We're not discussing the beginning. Shemayim and the Oretz already existed before the first Pasuk in the Torah, and of course Hashem created the Shemayim and the Oretz, but now we are coming in, the Torah begins at a point, at a certain point, towards the beginning of the process of the Shemayim and the Oretz that already was created long ago. The Ruach Elokim was Merachefes al Pnei Hamoyim. Okay, how did all that come about? How did the Ruach Elokim come to Merachefes al Pnei Hamoyim, the Mayim, which already exists, obviously, and how did it already come to exist that there was something called Shemayim and there was Oretz? It's none of our business, according to Rashi. And Chazal support Rashi to a strong degree because Chazal say, you're not allowed to know what went on before. It's none of your business what happened before
we
the first.
We can understand what it means to create nothing. We can understand transforming.
Well, the truth is, we can't understand that either. We really cannot understand that either. Because as far as transforming is concerned, this also defies anything that we can possibly understand. So we don't understand what it means, yesh me'ayin. We don't understand what it means, transformation. And in fact, even after the beginning, there was also a Yesh Me'ayin. What was the Yesh Me'ayin? The ultimate Yesh Me'ayin. Maybe it was the only Yesh Me'ayin, according to Rashi. It was darkness. The concept that there could be a black hole, there could be darkness, this is the ultimate creation. And to a degree, that's really what it's over here. This pasuk is another support to Rashi. Oisei Shachar Eifa. Hashem makes light into darkness. The day one, there was only light. Whatever that means. Yihi Ar was a transformation of the matter that existed. But it was already there. It already existed. It's not called the Maisa Asiyah. It's not called something new. It's just a transformation. Darkness is a brand new concept in this world. And this fits perfectly into the entire Hashkafa that we live with from the Ramchal is that we live in a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. And the way Hashem tests us is He created this thing called Hester Panim. Hashem hides Himself. He makes believe He doesn't exist in order to challenge man to find Hashem, to express Yirah Shamayim, to say, even though it appears that no one is watching, I acknowledge that there is a Creator and He knows everything. He gave us mitzvahs and we have a nesayon, and that's the challenge. The challenge of expressing Bechira Chavshis only came through the creation of Hashem's concealment, Hashem's Hester Panim. Hashem's Hester Panim is the Berea of Choshech. The Berea of Choshech is synonymous with the Kadosh Baruch Hu creating the principle called Hester Panim. So this pasuk, what we're going to learn today, really fits very, very good with the parish, of Rashi. And the first pasuk was Kedai Rashi. Kedai Rashi, just to read the Rashi. We discussed this idea many times. See, here's the. I'll read the Rashi, and we'll read over here the English translation. Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. English translation: in the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth.
Right.
It does not say in the Aristotle translation, in the beginning, God created.
Right.
That's how, until the generation of Aristotle generation, that's how the English translations always flow. In the beginning, period, God created the heaven and the earth. It's not how Aristotle translates this.
No.
In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth.
Right. Which said the tenth commandment, which came first, which came second?
In the beginning, it was before the first pasuk of the Torah, Hashem has already created the Shamayim and the earth. And now how did that happen? It's none of our business. Now we're entering in the middle of the picture. And what there was already a Shamayim, there was already an Aretz, and the pasuk reveals that the earth was Sohu Vavo, and it was of Choshech. Okay, it does say Choshech. Now, well, you know what? You know, it would imply that the Choshech al Pnei Sohu existed before also. I mean, it seems so. Then what then does it mean that the question will then come back? What does it mean in Boirei Choshech? And why, when it comes to Or, do we say Yoitzer Or? Choshech is boyrei. We have to struggle. Let's see the Mefarshim inside. Well, maybe we'll get a better handle on the differences. But let me read you the Rashi. The Rashi, Bereshis bara, ein hamikra hazeh oimer ella. No, sorry, one second here. Oh no, that's not what we're talking about. Bara lukim. I just want to show you the Rashi. Here it is. It's another Reish. It's the Gan Chafetam. V'loy ba hamikra, v'loy ba. It's mamish Rashi. The Aleph Beis we're learning over here today. V'loy ba gzuntait. V'loy ba hamikra lohoyrei seder habriya. The pasuk is not coming to teach you the order of creation. That's what you said. The order. We're not teaching you this. Does not mean the beginning Hashem created. This came first, this came second. The correct word would have been Barishaina. In the beginning, Baro Elokim Hashem created Es HaShamayim the Es HaAretz. Those
first. First he created
this, which also implies like the Unkelist. Unkelist says Bikadmin, which means first. Baro Hashem created Yos Shemaya v'Yos Ara. That's the Targum. Bikadmin. The first thing Hashem did was in the beginning, or first, same idea. Bira. Hashem created the heaven and the earth. Rashi immediately disagrees. That's not what it means. It cannot possibly mean like the Targum, because then the word Bereshis is incorrect. It's the wrong choice of word. It should have been Barishoina, Baro Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Es Haaretz. The fact that it says Bereshis connotes that the Shamayim and the Aretz and the Mayim and the Choshech matter already existed before.
So that explains why Rashi says that when he said that it's not coming to teach us a Seder, because for Rishon, no, Rishon is an ordinal number, right? So that's why he has to tell us that we're not going in order, because he didn't use the ordinal.
Correct.
Applies that the Shemayim is first, then the order.
No, not necessarily. That's exactly the point that Rashi is coming to make.
It could be something we don't know.
We don't know. And it's not only the Shemayim and the Aretz. We know that there was something called Choshech, and we know there's something called Tehoim, and we know that the Ruach Elokim certainly exists, but Ruach, the fact that we describe Hashem with Ruach, does that mean that Ruach existed?
I mean, words are extremely difficult to translate, tell you, void and darkness and chaos, and those are just words. I mean, we use them, but
according to Rashi, the creation took place before the first pasuk, and then it goes on to say, "This is real." This Rashi.
Everything
was there ready. What does it mean? Shamayim. What does it mean? The Aretz. Like Rabbi Mchol just said, they're very vague terms. The Shemayim that we know today is not necessarily the Shemayim that it means over here, because it was transformed.
Right.
There was a transformation made. The matter.
We can't relate at all.
Okay. At all. So let me finish with the words of the Rashi, because this Rashi is very much Nagia al Pasik. Afkan ato emes alunzer vilvis. So the Pasik of Loi Bahamikul Haros Seder Habriya. Loi Marash Elu Kod Much. Im Bol Haros Kach Lhoyle Lichtav Bori Shaina. Bara es hashamayim. She'en lecha reishis b'mikra. So the word, but now that he uses the word reishis and does not use the word reishayna, every time the word reishis is used, it's always connected to the next words. She'en du dovuk l'teva shalacharav k'moy b'reishis mamlechas yoyakim reish mamlechtoi. And he gives a few examples. Askanat omer b'reishis bara lukim k'mo b'reishis bara. The double of Tchilas Divar Hashem Yosheya, Kiloimar, Tchilas Divar Hashem Yosheya, and then does he go on to explain? The Im Taimar Lahoris Bashelu Tchil Divar, and he goes on to reject that. And the Loy Perish Mal, we're going to the end of the Rashi. Al Karachach Loy Limit Hamikra Beseder Hamukdomim Vehamukharim Kolom. Okay, we're not discussing the beginning. He doesn't really follow through in the exact words, but the way it's on Rashi's understood is to mean is that towards the beginning of this process, which already has begun before the Torah begins. The Aretz was sohu v'vohu v'choyshech al p'nei sehoin. Okay, so based upon that, but we do take out of this another, the point that we need to our pasuk here is that when it comes to darkness was a later creation. Or was a transformation. There was Shamayim, there was Aretz, there was Mayim. That or was a Yitzira. It was a transformation. It was something which evolved, which came into existence from the prior matter. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create darkness, this was a much greater a concept called a Bria. Yoitzer Or Uvoirei Choshech. Okay, now, here again the Pasuk, it says the same idea. Oisei Shachar, Eif Hashem makes Shachar, he makes dark, he transforms Shachar into darkness. And this pasuk is adding a new dimension to creation, which we do not know from Maaseh Bereishis, and that is darkness is matter. Okay? right, is that darkness is matter, and where does matter come from? Where does the dark matter come from? It comes from light. That's what this pasuk says.
I don't look at light as matter, I look at it as energy.
Okay, whatever it is, darkness. Okay, darkness. Many will argue. Many would like to say that darkness is the absence of light.
No, right.
So it's clear from all over that it's not so. Darkness is a creation. A creation by definition means you need ingredients. You don't make a cake out of nothing. You need ingredients. What are the ingredients that create darkness? So it doesn't. We would never know this. This is something that we would have no clue of knowing because
the physicists now call dark matter.
Dark matter.
There's more dark matter than there is light.
So that where did that come from? Substance. So that's not the obvious. Today we don't look at it like that. Today you turn off the lights, so you feel it's dark. Darkness means the absence of light. Isn't that what we sense?
Yeah.
And we would have no idea. And if you're going to tell me this complex concept, science, that darkness is matter. Okay, what matter is, where did it come from? Which ingredients, which elements we use to create dark matter? So, I don't know. We have no idea, because in my Sibereshis, according to Rashi just says, towards the beginning of creation, there already was something called Shamayim, there was already something called Aretz, and there was already something called Choshech. V'Aretz Choysa Soyhu V'Voyu V'Choshech Al Pnei Sohoim. There already existed this thing called Choshech. Doesn't tell us how Choshech came into existence. This pasuk in Amos is revealing us a very great secret that we would not otherwise know, is that the ingredient to create the matter of Choshech comes from Shachar, comes from light. Shachar means the rays of dawn. You'll tell me, are there different types of light? There's a light, midday light. There is the end of the day light. There are the rays. Shachar has a unique connotation. Maybe it does. But at least one thing we do derive from this pasuk is darkness is a creation. It's not just the absence of light. The creation requires ingredients. It requires matter. There are many, many different elements of matter in this world. The key element of matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create darkness is light. Okay, now let's go further in the Mitzudos. Okay, V'humagid, around the second line on page 311, on the very, very bottom of the Mitzudos David, V'humagid lo demaziyeh b'dibur k'diburoi. Okay, the first tells Hashem is Yoitzer, the mountains. He is Boirei, the Ruach. We have to discuss what it means, the creation of wind. Why, when it comes to a mountain, matter is Yitzira, but Ruach is something which is not tangible. You cannot touch wind. Wind is called the Berea. The more esoteric something is, the greater the Berea. Darkness is called the Berea. Ruach is also called the Berea. And then it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a recording device. And what's the recording device? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately magid l'adam asechai mitzudos v'hu magid l'adam ma'yihye diburoi.
That's a famous quote in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
Oh, yeah, we're going to quote that. We're going to quote that. Hashem will even idle chatter. Hashem knows the secrets of his heart. Then they can. That's his parish. Now, it's a little bit difficult. The Mitzvah stuff is not really giving you the translation. Because ma seichai, he seems the word seichai does not necessarily mean speech. Even though he translates it as speech, diburoi, he adds in a few words here, which is going off the beaten path, ki yodea hu ta'alumoi slave, the secrets of the heart. But we're not discussing the secrets of the heart. We are discussing speech. You can think all you want. You can have all the secrets you want. The pasuk says, umagid le'adam ma seichoi. Why then does the Mitzudos David inject into his translation, because Hashem knows your secrets? That's not the point. The point is ki magid hu magid l'adam ma yihye diburoi. So I think we picked upon the answer. He writes a beloshen osit. This is an amazing thing. I didn't pick up this when I prepared. I didn't pick up what the Mitzudos David is saying. He says something that is awesome. Not what we thought originally. When I translated this passage, I tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a recording device. Okay, the best recording device ever. And that's not what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is predicting what you will say. This over here is not like what Rishol Zev just said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day will tell a person, Nachameh Veshem, is idle chatter. What he said in the middle of the night, when he's speaking to his wife, in the middle of the night, he gets up to go take an aspirin, he complains to his wife that he has a headache. That's what Chazal are going to say. Magid l'maseicha, even the idle chatter bein ish l'ishtai. That's not what the mitzvah of this David translates. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a recording device. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now can tell you what you will say in 10 minutes from now. What you will say in 10 years from now. Why? Unbelievable. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how you work. He knows the secrets of your heart. He knows how you operate. Every single person is predictable. Isn't that amazing? How do you balance this? Okay, I told you this pasuk is really heavy pasuk. But that's what he says over here. If a person would not exercise bechira, let's put that aside now. Would not exercise bechira chafshes, a person basically is predictable. Is a machine. A computer is a program. You write up, you have a computer, you have a program, and therefore it is predictable every single thing that the computer will ever do based upon the program, what's going to happen. So over here, that's exactly what it says. It says, umagid le'adam. Magid translates in the future tense. He can reveal le'adam. Masechoy, he translates this in the future tense, what he will say. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu know what I'm going to say? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how I work. He knows how I operate, the secrets of my heart, and thus I am predictable to such a degree, Hashem will, in this circumstance, this is how your mind's going to work, and this is what's going to come out of your mouth. That's awesome. That's an incredible chokhmah that's infinite, beyond our understanding, that you can actually predict how a human being will behave in any given situation. It's an amazing thing. That's how the Mitzudos David translates the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. He'll reveal Ma Yihye Diburai. Ki Yoideahu Ta'aluma Islay. Unbelievable. Now we go to the next part of the pasuk. Obviously, we're going to see many mefarshim that are going to disagree with this interpretation, and we'll see soon. Next, now he goes to the next part. He's able to lahapach is to transform the or of shachar lihiyos choshech, okay, which we spent 15 minutes on, to take the matter of light and create out of light matter dark matter. For who next? V'doirech al bamos se'eretz. Hashem tramples upon the tall places of the earth. Ritzoyin Eloim. Mashbil hu es haramim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu humbles the arrogant, the rum. Those that are tall. If we're dealing with human beings.
Yes,
and the whole pasuk. There are different parts of this pasuk which are used in different psukim, slightly different. Enochanami. In this pasuk, this is how it's presented in this pasuk. Enochanami is mashbil hu es haramim. It would seem over here they're referring to human beings. Maybe it's referring to objects, to buildings, to mountains, earthquakes, natural disasters, but also can refer to human beings. That people who are arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to humiliate them, to humble them. Ki shemoy Hashem elokei tzivokos, ki umoyshol bitzivois hamala umata. He rules above and below. Uchoimer im kol elebo mi im ken yuchalias nishmar me horo'ah shehu miya'el lehavi. So in the context, now the Mitzudos stuff is tying in this pasuk to the message, to the context of this perek, and that is therefore, why do you think you're going to outsmart Hashem? You think the previous pasuk Yudbeis is where Hashem says, I'm going to do what I'm planning to do to you. So you might as well do teshuva, because if you do not do teshuva, there is no way you can circumvent what is about to come upon you. You think you're going to outsmart me? Hashem is infinite. Hashem knows what you're going to say in 5 minutes. Hashem knows, Hashem can be mashbil the game. There's no escape from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore humble yourself and do teshuva. This last expression ties into the context. Okay, let's go further. Well, I think that's a lot of it. And that concludes That concludes the mitzudos. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk yigimul masechay kol masav partin lufana b'shas misase. Rashi clearly disagrees with the mitzudos. Rashi is the typical translation from the Chazal. Rashi is obviously drawing from Chazal. Hashem is a tape recorder. Hashem listens, records every single thing that a person says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will play back the recording. Achar b'shas mi sasai. Why b'shas mi sasai? Now why b'shas b'yayim hadin? We don't always assume.
Don't say word says masa, it's deeds.
Oh, very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, another diyuk. Another dik video, excellent. That you see another difference. That the Rashi over here is not learning like the mitzudos. The word seichoi does not mean speech. Seichoi means maasim. The word seichoi is a very hard word to translate. Vayetze Yitzchok losuach basodeh. What does that mean? To daven, to pray. Chazal say he went to be mispalel. So when you mispalel, that's a dibur. Is that not? It's a koyach hadibur. We have a whole siach hasode terem yitzmach. Siach in that context means vegetation. So, does it mean vegetation? Does it mean speech? Over here, Rashi is telling us that it means deeds. Okay, obviously, the word seichoi is a hard word to translate, and you're saying very good. Kol masav poi partin lefona b'shas misasai. Let's go further. Oise shachar latzadikim keor noiga eifo. So Rashi says Hashem makes shachar, he breaks up the pasuk. Hashem makes shachar light for tzadikim, as it says ka'or noiga, like a light, a brilliant light. There are different types of light: incandescent bulbs, fluorescent bulbs, LED light. Okay, all different. There is this shachar. Obviously, shachar he translates or noiga. Noiga means a glow, a light,
a brightness. Like Venus, it's called Noga, because it's the brightest in heaven.
Obviously, each different light has a different, we know today, there are certain lights that are dangerous, they are radioactive for man, and there are certain lights that are harmless. Obviously, the word, it's not one size fits all, there are different types of light. Eifa, hoifech noikon shel rishaim l'choyshech, Hashem transforms the noikon. The noigon is the same exact word as noiga, the glow of the wicked. L'choyshech afela. Now again, he tried eifa is a different, also a different type of darkness. It's a darkness called afela. Where does it say the word afela? Makas choyshech. Makas, but there it says v'yomesh choyshech. They can feel it. It doesn't say that over here. It says, but it does say the word afela. And again, it's not so clear what exactly. There are different types of darkness. And afela is one of the various forms, and that's all. That's why we use eifa. Eifa comes from the word afela. There is tzara, pain, v'chashecha, darkness, me'uf, tzuka. Those are two words which mean oppression. Tzuka means an intensity of oppression. V'chein eretz eifasa, a dark earth. Te'ufav kaboy ketia, it will be dark. It will be dark like the morning. Okay, what do you mean? What does that mean in that passage? I don't know that. I don't know what it means in that. I don't know what does the darkness have to do with the morning? The morning normally means it will be light.
In all the pasukim, the word is with an iron, but we said
l'choshech. Oh, very good. Okay, you're right. You're correct. So sometimes the aleph and the ayin are interchanged. It's a good point you're making. I didn't realize that. You're right. The Aleph and the Ayin sometimes are interchanged for the purpose of, not only for Drush, even the Pshuta Shel Mila. You're right. In Echonami, it's a Chiddush of Rashi. Rashi learns, well, you see it used both ways. In Chumash, it says with an Aleph, Afela. But in Nach, it's usually spelled with an Ayin. V'nei Tzara V'chashecha the Targum there translates the word chashecha me'uf. So the word me'uf means darkness.
Yep.
And the word me'uf, that's what, and there it's with an ayin. Sara, chashecha me'uf means darkness. Tzuka means oppression. Okay, so the word uf there is darkness with an ayin. V'chin eretz e'fasa, dark land. Ta'ufa, Kaboker tiye. I don't know what that pasuk means, but there's an ayin. That word there means darkness.
Darkness will shine like the morning.
Ah, okay. Darkness will shine like the morning. Okay, that's very strange because darkness doesn't shine. Darkness
I'm just
is
reading what it says here.
Obviously we're dealing with a different type of darkness, which is matter, which is something which is not that we're familiar with. Which the same way light radiates, there is a darkness that radiates. Your darkness will be transformed into light. Okay, your darkness, comma, kaboiker yeh meir, will give light. So that pasuk, where is the uf in that pasuk? That pasuk does not say the word afela. It says choshkicha. Maybe what it means is that since that pasuk says that it will radiate, the darkness will radiate. It has to be referring to a darkness called of afela. All right, whatever this is. Any event, the point we have to make over here is that Rashi disagrees with the Mitzvah. Rashi over here learns that they're going to be, there are two different words. Not like what I told you. I told you the pshat of the Mitzvah Stavit, that the pasuk means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to transform, is going to use Shachar into darkness. The Shachar will be transformed into darkness. Over here, Rashi says, no, we're dealing with two different principles. Shachar, period. Eifa, period. Shachar refers to the Tzadikim. Hashem will bring tzadikim shachar, period. Eifa, Hashem will bring for the Rishohim darkness. Two different concepts, and we separate one from the other. Then we go to the next part. V'derech HaBomis HaRavis and Rashi, Mashvil Givoyim V'gasei HaRuach. Now I told you the Mitzudos, he was a little bit vague. What is Hashem coming to humble? What is Hashem coming to step upon, to lower? It would seem from the words that he's dealing with human beings. Rashi clearly says that at the end of the words, but Rashi first says Mashvil Givoyim, which means physical matter, mountains, buildings, things that are very, very tall in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring about an earthquake, a tornado, a natural disaster, which can take things that are very, very tall and high and mighty, can be diminished, can be lowered. Likewise, arrogant people whose spirit is inflated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do things to them, bring about events, which causes them to be deflated. Okay, so this concludes Rashi, period. Okay, so Rashi, we already learned a lot of difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. Let's see Radha. Pasuk is Gimel Hinea Yoitzer Harim B'Vayi Choshech. Elokecho, who the Navi says, your God, who Yoitzer Harim, he creates mountains, Uvorei Ruach, and he creates Ruach, the Oisei, and the Oisei, by Yitzurim, Kiritsoina, he does among his creatures whatever he wants. V'zocha harim shehim kayamim v'chazokim, b'yisoid he'ofar, we mentioned first the mountains, earth. V'zocha ruach shudavar chazok b'nivroim v'enoy nireh. So we're using these two metaphors to describe that Kadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants in the things that can be seen and touched. And amongst the elements of creation of this world which cannot be seen or touched, wind is a force in this world, and we cannot touch it, and we cannot see it, and we cannot touch it. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is in control of wind. And likewise, matter, physical matter, which we can touch and feel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. So we don't appreciate it because we live in a Baruch Hashem generation. I've been reading lately that book on Avodah Zarah from Rabbi Klein. And I told you I'll do a review. I'm not so sure we'll do a review because it's a little bit esoteric. It's a little hard, but it is an amazing, amazing book. I'm about halfway through the book. God versus Gods. Rabbi Reuven Klein. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's researched the topic of Avodah Zarah. And after reading even half of the book, spooks me out, almost every pasuk in the Torah, in one level of interpretation, is a response to idolatry, is a response to the common forms of idolatry that existed in the world at that time. That's one level of interpretation. And here it's very clear because in ancient times, and we all know this to be 100%, you don't need the book for this, is that the pagans, every item had a separate god. There's a god for the wind, and there's a god for matter, for the earth. There's a god for mountains, and there's a god for the rivers. And it's a shock to the world when Avraham Avinu came along and told the world, you're mistaken. God, the real God, is multifaceted. He's the God of light and darkness, the God of wind and the wind and stone. And the words Echad, we don't think much of it. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We don't think much of it. Hashem is one. Of course Hashem is one. But in the pagan world, what? One? It can't be. If you're the God of good, you can't be the God which brings bad. If you're the God of wind, you can't be the God of water. You can't be one. Everyone has their turf. Everyone has their territory. How could there be one all-encompassing God? This is the Yesod of Yadus that the ancient world had a very hard time dealing with. Monotheism. There's one God. That is everything. So here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is in charge of matter that you can touch and see. And he's also the God of things that you cannot see and touch. That's a big pill to swallow for people who spend their whole day worshipping idols. Because there's such different concepts. How can you be the God of something which you can touch and at the same time be the God of something which you cannot touch? It's different worlds. And that's exactly what the Pasuk of Pesach says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the mountains that you can touch, and Hashem is the creator of the Ruach that you cannot touch. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't make that mistake. Further, in the Radak, that's why why we mention these two things. Zachar Ruch Shudav Shachad Ben Avim Ben Avim Ben Avim V'hinei Hu Yotze Echadim, the mountains, HaChazakim HaNir L'ayin, Ubay HaRuach Shein Nira, Shemash B'lo Yisam Kama Sh'omar, Hafach Mishoresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu overturns Mishoresh from the root, the mountains. V'zehu Sh'omar V'derech Al Bamasi Aretz, V'heharim Haim Bamasi Aretz, they are the tall places. V'nehu Derech Aleim Mapilim Al Yidei HaRuach HaNichnas V'binyan HaAretz, U'vitzeisoy Mimeno, when it comes out, Ba'ikeh HaAretz, earth cracks, U'poyscha, and it opens up. So he's saying a very beautiful idea here, that at the end of the Pasuk parallels the beginning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk presents the mountains and presents the Ruach. End of the Pasuk says, the Bomo Se'aretz, Dorech al Bomo Se'aretz, Hashem steps upon the tall places of the earth, which means Hashem combines the two. Hashem takes the Ruach, he blows the Ruach into the earth, and that causes the harem to come collapsing. So the Dorech al Bomo Se'aretz, according to the Radak, is not, as we learned until now, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, an independent statement. It's not something new. It's returning to the beginning of the Pasuk. This, that is a mountain, and there is Ruach, and they're two very different things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much in control, he can bring one against the other. He can bring the Ruach to destroy the mountains.
Erosion.
Well, the way he has a very unique scientific description. I wonder what they would say in modern science, how he describes this happening. Look again one more time the words of the Mitzudos towards like the Dorech. Okay, it's like half, a little bit more than halfway down in the first paragraph. The Dorech al Bamas Eretz v'chadim him Bamas Eretz v'hinehu Dorech aleihem u'apilam al yidei haruach. What does that mean? Hanichnas bebinyan. Wind enters into the structure. Nusach acher. Bebeten. In the beten, the womb of the Haaretz. Which means the subterranean. Underneath the ground, he says. Hashem is blowing wind underneath the ground. Uvit say so mi milk a volcano, it sounds like, right? Uvit say so mi menu. Like a volcano. Uvit, but he's saying it comes with wind. I don't think scientifically they'll tell you that earthquakes.
You don't have to be
okay, but he's saying a very interesting idea. Which is there any? Is this more just symbolic? Is it a metaphor, or is there real science behind this?
It could be a metaphor for movement.
Obviously,
because winds move. That's what they do.
Yeah, but he's saying that the wind is in the earth,
that there is movement within the earth that causes these upheavals.
But he's saying the movement in the earth is Ruach.
Yeah. Okay, so
we translate Ruach normally wind.
Right.
There's no wind in the earth.
Okay.
So then maybe Ruach in the Radak's understanding does not mean wind. It means forces that are not tangible. There are forces out there in the world. There's gravity. There is whatever, all different types of forces, and these forces are not tangible and they cannot be seen, and they can be used one against the other, and it can force even mountains to come collapsing. And the wind goes in the beten haaretz, if it says so, meaning when it comes out of the earth, the earth cracks, an earthquake. Upoyscha, and it opens up. V'afilu yiyya mikoyim tseso harim givayim, and sometimes it comes out, its exit comes from mighty mountains. V'zehu harash, and that's what an earthquake is. It's when the ruach is blown into the beten of the aretz and causes the harim to collapse. And that is summarized in the words, the doireich al bomosei aretz. Lefichach zochar harim beruach. Next paragraph. V'chein humagil lodem masechoi ma inyonoi uma asaf. Okay, so this fits like Rashi. The word secho means ma'asim, not speech. V'lo yachshav she'en roye oisam k'mo shohoyu oimim ha'koyfrim. Don't think Hashem does not see. Ein Hashem roye oisanu. Ki hinei hu magid l'adam ma'asehem al yidei nidiyah. A whole new interpretation, not like Rashi. Rashi said, Hashem tells a person all of his ma'asim, b'yoim b'shas, doesn't say b'shas misosoy. He says, no, Hashem reveals all of your secrets through the prophets. Does not make any mention what happens b'shas misosai. If we have prophets living amongst us, they will tell the person, I know what you did last night. I know all of your averos. I'll tell you a very funny story. There was a big mukubal who came to America. Big mukubal. And the whole community lined up. It's a true story. And not the whole community, but a very large number of people, they lined up around the block, long line to give him a kabbal panim, to say shalom aleichem, to get a bracha. And the first guy passed him, and he said, Shabbos, shalom aleichem. The next one passed, the next one. Third, fourth person, he said to him, like a very fine, upstanding citizen in the community, and he said to him, are you shomer Shabbos? Are you Shomer Shabbos? Yeah, of course. Are you Shomer Shabbos? It didn't take more than 10 seconds. The line disappeared. You understand? People began to start thinking, if this guy is for real, he's a mukubal, and he looks at you, and he knows things that we don't know, that the average person thinks that we don't know. He knows how to, I don't know how this works. And he's saying, this guy, are you Shomer Shabbos? That guy, you mean privately, when he's home, he's not in public, he does things that are not 100%? Him? If he's revealing that this guy is not the way he looks on the outside and the inside, boy, I'm in even more trouble. Because I know if he got caught, I'm gonna be embarrassed. So everyone disappeared. So over here it says Umagi, the Navi over here reveals a real Navi. Now was that just a bum myself? I mean, was that person playing games? I have no idea, but it's a cute story. Here it says a real Navi has the ability to reveal to a person all of his mice and all of his deeds, everything that he ever did in his life. Very different than Rashi. Because what Rashi says is very interesting. Because I don't know how these things work, but it's not familiar to me that a person, that Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to a person all of his deeds b'shas misosai. We have a principle that there's a yom hadin. A person leaves this world, and then there's a yom hadin. The yom hadin is not necessarily the moment of misa. There's a process, and in fact, there's a. Chazal tell us that there are dinim that are continuous. Every so often there's another din. Every time the neshama goes higher and higher, he's subject to a din. Are you truly deserving to go to the next level in the next world? There's a din, and the din includes what have you left over in this world? Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, how have they contributed to Kavod Shemayim? So part of that is they reveal to a person all of his deeds. You don't get the sense that it's revealed to a person masecha, his masim b'sha'as misosai, at the moment of his death. It comes a point in time. And Chazal, in fact, they tell us that at the end of days, at the end of days is the Yoyim HaDin HaGadol, when everything will be revealed to a person. So, but Rashi adds this idea, B'shas Misasa. Where does that come from? Obviously, there's a Chazal, maybe we'll come across it soon. But in any event, Radak does not say that. Radak learns that a Magid loves Sechai. He agrees with Rashi that refers to Yemasin, but not B'shas Misasa. But in this world, when you go into contact with the Navi right away knows who he's dealing with, he knows his private Maisim. And in fact, there are some stories in Tanakh, where in fact, we do have this. Okay, next. Sechai, B'tzerei, it's Sechai, not Sichai, Atem Yidatem, Esau Ich, V'es Sichai. Now this part, the Chirik, that pasuk in Melachim, B'Sichai with Chirik, U'shtem Inyin Ahadam Masav, both of them refer to a person's deeds. Deeds, sometimes it's spelled Sechai, and sometimes it's pronounced Sichai. Oise Shachar Eifo, V'chino Oise HaShachar, Shunoiga, U'chsheyirtze Yisimenu Choshech. Hashem transforms, he sets when he wants Shachar into darkness, V'hu Kadrus HaShemesh. So he's telling us over this something more scientific. Okay, he's telling us over here that this is the darkening of the sun. What does that mean, the Kadrus HaShemesh? Does this mean an eclipse? A solar eclipse? Or does this mean there are sunspots? What does this mean exactly? You're going to say that he does what he wants? It's preordained. Okay, a solar eclipse is predictable. We know exactly whenever the entire movement of the sun. So does this mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu changes things? Or does this mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's part of what the pasuk means? Or maybe it means there are other things that happen to the sun which Hashem does when he wants. We know very little about the sun today. What do we know about the sun today? We do know there are sun, there's something called sunspots, right? There are certain days they can observe on the sun explosions, and they can observe on the flares and other things, and that to some degree affects the earth, it affects what happens here, hurricane, we don't even know the weather, things. Does that mean the Kadosh Baruch Hu over here, there's a cause and effect that our maisim have an effect on the sun, the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who knows? But he doesn't really explain the kadosh, the darkening of the shemesh. Eifa, what is Eifa Choshech? Eifa means darkness, k'moy eretz eifasa. Hinehu oisa b'yitzurim kiritzonai. V'chein yasa b'chem. Im toreu yara lachem. If a person does not fear, Hashem will punish. V'yim teitiv yetiv lachem. V'ki o yudea ma'asechem. V'shemushmai Hashem l'chei tzvokas. Shu shevet tzvokas ma'al l'mata. V'yosa b'chem kiritzon. V'chein atov l'totol l'chol yishod sheitikon l'krosa b'ma'asim tovim. Therefore, it's in your best interest that you do ma'asim tovim. V'hu yetiv lachem b'gut you. Im heira lachem ad koi b'glal ma'asechem. If you've been suffering, it's because of your bad deeds. Haroim. Also, Masha, also. Yonasam Tirgim. Okay, now I'm on the next page now, page 313. Now we go to another interpretation. The Yonasam Tirgim, the Targum Yonasan, Areha Miskelei, Ditzar, it has been revealed. Are means behold. Ha Miskelei, it has been revealed to you. Ditzar Turaya, that Hashem forms mountains. Uvira Rucha, now here is where he goes. Lichava'a. Le'enosh mo oivo dohi. Lechava means to express to man. What are his deeds? La'askono nehar litzadikaya, to establish light for righteous people. Kinohar tzafra, like the morning light. De'ozel v'sokein le'ayo. De'ozel v'sokein le'ayso'o. Which brings benefit. Le'ay so'o chashaych, and also Hashem brings darkness. Le'rashi'aya, to the wicked. This is really what Rashi said. Rashi said the same idea. Le'misbar rishu, to break the wicked. Ara, to break them. Omar Hashem elokei tzedakah shenei. Now to summarize that, and then we'll read again inside, is he is combining parts of the pasuk, which no one has done for us, no one has done so far. He seems to say, if not mistaken, okay, is that the word oise shachar is connected to the beginning of the pasuk. And then when it says, eifa, the dorech alba mose oretz, it's connected to the end of the pasuk. So the pasuk begins, Hashem is yoitza har mavari ruach, Hashem creates the mountains and he creates wind, umagid l'oda masechoi. He does all of this to reveal to a person Masei Choy. Now, what is Masei Choy going on? Until now, we learned Maasei Choy is going on man's Maasei. But maybe Maasei Choy is going on Hashem's actions. Okay? Hear that different translation? Until now, we kept us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Magid, he reveals La'adam, Maasei Choy. What are his, either his words, right, his recording, or his deeds, or what man will say. Maybe what it means over here, what the Targum is saying is Maasei Choy, the reason why Hashem has created mountains and has created wind is so that man should be aware of Hashem's power. Maasei Choy, how mighty and awesome Hashem's deeds are. If we were born into a boring world, let's say we came into a world that was flat and boring as can possibly be. Okay, no, there was no beauty. The world will be just a very ugly, boring world. And here we are, we're human beings. We look around. B'nai Nishlam, you created this world? Not impressed. Not impressed. Boring world. Flat, ugly, everything is... So therefore, we should serve you. You put us here in this world to serve you, to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs. All right, we'll do. We'll do what we need to do, and whatever. And we'll waste the rest of our time. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a beautiful world, beautiful mountains, powerful winds.
The key word I think is variety.
Variety. Variety, but beauty, not just variety.
I'm saying, but even the most beautiful thing
is variety.
That's all there is.
Why did Hashem do this? Why do we need such a beautiful world? Why did Chazal tell that a person does not go and see the Alps, does not go and travel, a person has an opportunity to travel and to see the beauty of this world and does not do so, he will be held accountable in the next world for every benefit that he could have derived and denied himself. He will be held accountable because
you have to go?
What?
You have to go.
You got to go on a tour. You got to go to Switzerland. You got to go to see
the
Niagara Falls. It says explicitly in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiveya. If a person has an opportunity in this world to enjoy himself, to see the world, to see what's out there, and denies himself that opportunity for no good reason, it's a sin. It's a sin. If you have an opportunity to travel and to see, you have to do. Why?
Could it be natural stuff or could it be a man-made stuff?
Man-made, anything. Everything. Everything includes everything. Why? This pasuk is telling us why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu umagid le'adam, the reason why Hashem created the mountains and created the wind is so that Hashem wants, so that Hashem could reveal le'adam to this creature that he made, Maasei Choy. Look how powerful I am. Look what I've created. Look how infinite I am.
What's the root word of
Seichel? He said, let's see, we'll go back in 1 second. But let's get this idea. And by doing so, man will now be inspired to be a tzaddik, to go the extra mile and do mais, to be an oisei shachar, in order to be a person who will do in this world good deeds. And Rachmana Litzlan, a person that does not do good deeds, but decides to ignore the power and might and beauty of Hashem, he's finished. He's going to be Eifa. For him, he'll now be held accountable. For him, there'll be darkness. There'll be the Gehenim. V'dorech al bomo se'aretz. Hashem will step upon him because Hashem allocates Tzvaka Shema, because Hashem is the one who created this entire world. Let's see the Targum again inside these words, how he translates it. This is not necessarily the Targum's translation, but others in Farshim learn like this. I'm trying to read this to the Targum, I'm not necessarily correct, but this will be one of the Mepharshim will say this idea. The Yodis and Tergate, Are, Ha Miskele, it's been revealed, the Tsar Turaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forms mountains, Uvera Rucha, creates wind, L'chava'o le'enoish, in order to express, L'chava means, it's a lesson of Dibor, Sichoi, what's up? L'chava'o means in order to express le'enosh mo oy vodohi. What are his actions? Are his deeds? Seichai, ma seichai means what are Hashem's deeds? The subject of Masecha is not like we've learned the entire morning today, of what are man's deeds. Hashem is recording, his tape recorder is a video recorder. He can predict what you're going to say in the future. Forget about man already. The whole purpose is to reveal to man, Masecha, what are Hashem's deeds. What are Hashem's creation? But why did Hashem create? Excellent, excellent. Why did Hashem create? Oh, very good. Husach, excellent. Husach vayehi, same exact words. And there it means Husach Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and it came into existence. Excellent, fantastic. It's mamash a perfect stuchel for this idea. Is that Hashem's deeds? For what purpose? The Targum goes further. La'askana, to prepare Nehor Litzadikaya ki Nehor Tzafra. To prepare for the righteous a river. Nehor really means a Nehor, a flow, a river for light. And a light for Tzadikim, like a light, like the morning light. The Ozel V'Sokein, which gets better and better. You see, he's coming to give a very elaborate translation on the word Shachar. If Hashem wants to use the word light, there are many other words in the dictionary for the word light. Shachar means it gets better and better and better. Dawn is just the first rays of light, but it gets more and more. And by midday, the light is betokfai. So it does not just, okay, you come to Gan Eden, okay, here you are, here's your room, here are the keys, there's the pool in the basement, v'zehu. That's not the way it works. You come to Gan Eden, there's a program. We're going higher and higher. The light, whatever it is, the light, the great, the activities, you grow higher and higher. All of that is captured in the word shachar, because the dawn is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the light. The ozel v'sokein. That's right. The nohar letzadikai ki nohar at the morning v'tzafra. What is the R of tzafra? What's the uniqueness? The ozel. This sokain, it gets better and better. And then, now here it's a little choppy. It doesn't sit well with me, the next part of the pasuk. Hashem also brings darkness to the wicked people. When it says here that Hashem steps upon the bomos ha'aretz, that's a metaphor for wicked people. The exalted, arrogant, haughty, wicked, Hashem crushes them with darkness. How does he crush them? Darkness. So we have a whole new pshat in this pasuk. Hashem created the beautiful world in order to inspire man to appreciate the toikif of the Ribbono Shel Olam so that he should be righteous, so Hashem can give him the reward of shachar. And if Rachmana Litzlan doesn't want to behave himself, Then the wicked will be humbled and deflated and flattened. How? There's also a new insight through darkness. The means of punishment, the form of punishment is not a stick. You beat up someone. It's not suffering. It's just put them in a dark room. You bring upon a person darkness. They eat themselves up. They implode. Okay, Gehenna, what is Gehenna? It's Gehenna, fire. Chazal say there's seven types of fire. Part of Gehenna is darkness. Just being in the dark. That itself is a form of pain. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. It's very interesting stuff. I have two handouts for today. I wanted to bring three. The printer did a trick on me. I thought it printed, but it didn't. So we have two pages. It may not be enough. I both sides.
Did you see what I sent you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Did you? Is the last one is the best?
Remind me
about the why he went there. He did. I showed a picture of the TV show. There's a guy with a rabbi, with a hat, with a safe in a football game.
Oh, yeah.
But he has an answer.
Wait, that's his son. The person in the field is his son.
What?
Who's on the field? That is his son.
I thought it was his son. No, he went there with.